Are you aware that our attitude could, probably will, determine our destiny? Amen. Do you agree with that? Making sure that we have the right attitude. Making sure today that as a child of the Most High God that you and I today are possessing in our lives the Christian attitude. I want to share with you this morning that if you and I together as children of God have the wrong attitude, or even if you're not a Christian this morning, having a real bad attitude or the wrong attitude, a negative attitude, perhaps an entitlement attitude. We know that there are people out there today that feels like that the world owes them something. Do you agree with that? Some people today feel like God owes them something. God doesn't owe us anything. If anything, we owe God. Amen. But some people sadly have the wrong attitude about things. And I'm just convinced today that you and I need to talk about the Christian attitude. We need to be involved in a good, positive attitude, an attitude that God is pleased with, not an attitude that God is displeased with. Rest assured that if you possess in your life a negative, negative attitude, it's going to affect a lot of things around you. Do you agree with that? We know that if we have a bad attitude, it can affect your job. I assure you it will slowly permeate itself in from your life, from your heart, and it will work its way into your place of employment. And before long, people around you don't want to be around you. They said he or she had such a negative attitude. You know, it's always something in the bad form. So it could affect your job. I submit to you today, brothers and sisters, a bad attitude can certainly affect your marriage. Would you agree with that? If the husband has a real negative attitude toward his wife, always trying to find something wrong, it's going to affect your marriage. If the wife is always negative and having a bad attitude and always going against what the husband says, it's going to affect your marriage. If your children have a bad attitude, if the parents have a bad attitude toward our children and children toward the parent, it's going to make for a pretty rough home. Do you agree with that? So it behooves you and me to take a look at how God wants His children to act, the kind of attitude that we are to have. A bad attitude can cause you to have a negative outlook on life. It will destroy your home life and friendships will totally be dissolved and it can affect our church life. Do you agree with that so far? So that's why I want to make sure, not saying that we are guilty, I'm guilty of some of it, but making sure that in our walk with Christ Jesus that we can possess, and maybe it's something that we all need to work on, somebody besides me might need to work on, and if we don't and we're okay with that, share it with our spouse. Share it with our son or a daughter, perhaps a co-worker. Let them see the importance of having the right attitude. So it warrants the question today, what is your attitude this very moment? Is it a positive attitude? Do you feel good about where you're at in your life? Do you feel very good about what's going on in our worship today? Do you feel very good about what has taken place so far as we have gathered together? Or do we have the attitude of the negative things? And I assure you that if we were to sit up here with judgmental eyes, I can find things wrong, and you can find things wrong from our perspective. That doesn't mean it's wrong biblically, amen? But sometimes we have to look back and say, what kind of attitude am I, Jerry Ladd Sr., having today? And it's something that I've had to work on for the last few months. I've really, really tried to hammer that down and try to look and see exactly what's going on with attitude. So we need to ask ourselves, am I having a positive attitude or a negative attitude? And your attitude today, did you get up from bed this morning and think, well, it's Sunday morning, the alarm clocks went off, I got to get up and I got to go to church? If that's your attitude this morning, you know what? That's really between you and God and you need some help. Do you agree with that? But did you get up out of bed this morning and say, thank you, God, I'm awake again today. I heard the birds chirping outside the window. I see the sun peeping through the curtain. You know, and now God has given me yet another opportunity to go into worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. How blessed am I? That should be our attitude, amen? But sadly, it's not. Sadly, some people today, by their walk in life, are looking at church attendance as a burden. And brothers and sisters, if this is a burden, there's been a problem in your rebirthing process when you became a Christian. If you have to be begged and pleaded with to do what God wants you to do, there is something wrong with you. It's not the people around you. It's not about somebody discouraging you. It is about your relationship and the attitude you have toward worship. Amen? So, you know what? If you have to beg and plead me to get up here and preach the gospel, you don't need me up here preaching. Amen? If you have to beg and plead me to come to the service, please do this, please do that. There's something wrong. I want to submit to you today that we should have a godly attitude, a Christ-like attitude. Look what Christ did. You think it was easy for him to go through what he went through? Teresa, he was rejected by his own people. Then he was beaten. He was scourged. He was spat upon. He was given, you know, sour wine or vinegar upon the cross when he said, I thirst, all of these things. And yet, even unto his death, he still had a positive attitude toward everyone. Not just those at the foot of the cross that he loved, that loved him, but even, Darlene, his enemies. Do you agree with that? Jesus possessed, Jerry, the right attitude. Are we in agreement so far? As a child of God, please know, listen to me, it is of soul-saving importance that we as Christians possess that Christian attitude toward others, toward God, toward Christ, and certainly toward one another. It is extremely important, listen, extremely important that we have the right attitude toward other people. Now, I know from time to time that can become very difficult because people can be very difficult. Do you agree with that? I know I'm not the easiest person to get along with. I've been told in my 31 years as a minister that, you know, Jerry, we like your sermons, and I appreciate hearing that, but your bedside manner is a little bit to be desired. That's okay. You don't have to like me with my bedside manner, but what you do have to appreciate is when I give it to you, I'm giving it to you from the Scripture. So if you're offended by the Scripture, if you're offended by what I'm saying, then really you owe me a thank you for doing my job. Amen? So we have to have the right attitude, and especially toward one another. We need to be aware that we are charged. Listen to me. We are charged with the responsibility to have the right and proper attitude toward others. I love Romans 14 down in verse 12. The Bible says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to who? All right. So folks, we'll have to answer. Dana, do you believe we'll have to answer for our attitude? A negative attitude, are we going to give an account for it? A positive attitude, we're going to be able to say, hey, because of the Bible, that's what Paul told the church at Corinth, whether good or bad, you're going to give an account for it. So I want to be able to stand before God on Judgment Day and he'd say, hey, Jerry, lad, you treated even your enemies good. That's what we should be doing. Do you agree with that? Because we're going to give an account of ourselves to the Father. So what about this morning? What kind of attitude do you have toward others? What kind of attitude do you have toward your brothers and sisters in Christ? What kind of attitude, let's take it a little bit further, folks, what kind of attitude do we have toward our enemies? Do I wish harm upon them? Yeah, I have in the past. Someone that didn't agree with me, I didn't agree with them. Someone, maybe I was fired from a job and now I'm ticked at the boss. Or maybe this happened or that happened or an injustice was done. And now that person in my classification is now an enemy. If I wished harm upon them, yeah, in the past I have. And that's wrong, isn't it? So I had to develop the right attitude. But well, how do I do that? The same attitude that Christ had toward me when I was his enemy. Amen. And if I'm not doing what God's calling me to do, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So I made myself an enemy of God. You didn't. My mom didn't. My dad didn't. My brothers and sisters didn't. I can't blame my husband, wife, brother, sister, son, daughter. If I'm an enemy of God, whose fault is it? Say it, congregation. It's our fault, isn't it? It's my fault individually. So what we have to do is make that determination today that I'm going to change my attitude. If I find myself with a negative attitude, I'm going to change that, and I want to possess. It's my desire to possess a Christian attitude. Let me give you a couple points that we can think about, and we'll close out here in a little bit. The first point I want us to consider today as we're talking about the Christian attitude, here's this. God commands us to have the right attitude by serving other Christians. Do you agree with that? We are to serve those that are about us. I must, by love and with love, serve other Christians. It's not an option. God doesn't say that you need to do this. God tells us we are going to do this. As a Christian, I must serve other Christians and be good to them. And the Bible talks about this, especially to those of the household of what? The household of faith. Galatians chapter 5 is waiting on us. Look at verses 13 and 14. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. The Scripture says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. That's talking about freedom. Look at this. Only do not use your liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, the Bible says, give me the next three words. serve one another. Now, that doesn't say there's an option in there, does it? The Bible says do that. Go ahead and look at 14 with me. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall, key word, your neighbor as yourself. So without love and without the right attitude, you're not going any further. You're still in first gear. Amen? So we've got to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we have the right attitude in serving those that are about us. Let's look at a thrilling example of how we are to serve one another. Let's go back to the book of John. You're probably already there, are you? Okay, well, give me just a second. John chapter 13, and I want us to look at verses 1 through 15 together. And let's look at a thrilling example of what we're talking about this morning, how we are truly to serve one another. Look at the example Jesus himself set as he was around his disciples. I think you'll like this. John 13, 1 through 15. The Bible says, "Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to what? And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself." Look at number 5. "After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash whose feet? And to wipe them with the towel in which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, you're washing my feet?'" He did this as a question. It's almost like, is this seriously happening? "Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.'" He understood, didn't he? He understood what this serving others was all about. "Jesus said to him," watch this, "'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.'" 11. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." Go to 12. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" So he's gaining their attention. He's bringing it to their mind. This is what serving each other is all about. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." Go to 14. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So go to 15. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." So he set forth a perfect example of serving others, didn't he? And not only did he just say it, he demonstrated it. He showed them. He trained them right smack dab in front of them. This is how you do it. Is that exactly right? So, brothers and sisters, even though it may get difficult from time to time to serve other people, don't give up. Never throw in the towel. Just keep on washing their feet. Amen? Keep on doing what God's calling you and me to do. As we consider serving other Christians, you and I must be willing to practice the golden rule in all dealings. You heard that word? All dealings with others. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do to them also, for this is the law and the..." Not only would this make the world a better place to live, brothers and sisters, not only would it make it life here upon this earth a whole lot better, more enjoyable and easy, please forget not that it is a commandment. It is a commandment from the Lord himself. So as we look further at the right attitude, I am aware that I need to worship with other members. And you are aware that you need to worship with other members and do all that we can to help build up the church. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, shows the significance, if I may, or the beginning of that, and it shows who owns the church. The Bible says, "I say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it." Folks, that passage of scripture that you just read makes it pretty clear that it was Christ that established the church. Do you agree with that? It was not and is not man-made. It's the Son of Man-made. Does that make sense? It was made by Jesus Christ himself. And you and I should have the right attitude toward the church. So as we talk about the attitude, and a godly attitude and a Christian attitude, let me ask you this question to you individually. Don't answer it out loud. What is your attitude toward Matthew 28:18-20? Well, the Bible tells us to go make disciples of all the nations. Is that what he said? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on in the next couple of verses and he says, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, the scripture says, even to the end of age. Well, what is your attitude toward that? What is my attitude toward that? Do we have the attitude, well, that's the preacher's job? I got news for you. You are the preacher. I am the preacher. We are the preacher. Amen. So we all have been given that biblical injunction, a biblical command, an order from God to make sure that we are teaching others and telling others about Jesus Christ. Dana and Eric was telling me a few weeks ago about this restaurant called The Depot and talked about these burgers and how good they are and how great they are and all that. We're going to try to get together. It seems like every time we try to plan it, something happens. I know we've had a funeral. I've had two different funerals. And every time, so I thought, well, let's not even mention Depot. Every time we do, death occurs. Maybe that's a sign. But the point I'm getting is they were telling me about this Depot restaurant and how good it is. You know why they're telling me that? Because they got a good attitude toward the Depot. But shouldn't we today be sharing Jesus with other people? Shouldn't we today be telling everybody about, hey, one of the best parts of my life has been when I met Jesus Christ in baptism. My best walk in life has been when I was holding the hand, those nail-scarred hands of Jesus, and now I'm walking together with him. Shouldn't we be sharing that? I don't know how many we've got in the building, but three people answered that. Shouldn't we be sharing that? Margaret, should we be sharing that? Okay, make sure we're all together. Don't make me holler. I'm trying to have the better attitude. Okay. All right, so we need to be sharing that. So share Matthew 28:18-20. Quit laying it on the preacher. It's all of our jobs. Amen. So as we consider serving others, I have to consider the passage found in the book of Hebrews as well. Hebrews chapter 3, down in verse 13, the Bible says, but exhort. That means to lift each other up. Yes or no? All right, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Today, you're an active child of God. Today, you're an active Christian. Do you know that the devil can get a hold of you tomorrow and pull you into the world? All right, so do what you can do today. Keep growing every moment you can. Develop and try your very best to possess the right attitude toward what God wants us to do. Because the devil is out there. We're told over and over to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the walketh about like a seeking whom he may devour. So, folks, we need to be sure that we're doing what God's calling us to do. Have the right attitude. Serve other people. Visit the sick. Make those phone calls of encouragement. Send that card of love and appreciation. Send your prayers up to the Lord on your behalf and on the behalf of others. Love other people. Serve them by teaching. Is that important? Preaching the Word of God. Is that important? Living right and forgiving one another. Serve one another just as Christ Jesus served you and me. So I want to make sure that we have the right attitude toward others. The second and final point that we're going to consider this morning is this. Let's look at some of the duties. I want to look at the duties now. Resting upon us as Christians. And what is our attitude toward our duties? Does that make any sense? What is our attitude toward our duties? Sometimes we can recognize what our duty is as a Christian, but then have a bad attitude to try to get there. If you got a bad attitude toward our duties, it's going to show, isn't it? And then when other people see your negative, bad attitude, what do you think happens? Do they grow by that? Is that exhorting other people? No. If I come in here today and I possess a negative attitude, a bad attitude, sure, some may say, well, Brother Jerry hadn't taken his medication. Brother Jerry may be a little edgy today. But you're not going to hear anything at all about encouragement. You probably won't hear anything about the lesson, whether it was good or bad. Jerry Ladd was in a heck of a mood today, or Bobby King was in one of his moods. Teresa leaned against his truck and, you know, had keys in her pocket. I mean, you're gonna hear negative things. We've got to come in positive, amen? No matter how bad things may be on the external or exterior, the interior is perfect. The interior is mint. You know why? Because God lives within us, amen? So it's in mint condition. We just got to keep on possessing the right attitude toward our duties. First of all, we as Christians need to be sure and must be aware of our responsibility to edify and give strength to others, according to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. Listen, please know that all of us, every single accountable human being today, needs encouragement from time to time. Do you agree with it? It doesn't matter how long an individual has been a Christian. All of us need a little boost from time to time. Every one of us do. The Lord knows it, and that is why He points it out in that very passage of Scripture. Also, as a child of the Most High God, we must learn to dearly love and appreciate others, soldiers of Christ. Sadly, we live in a culture today where people get jealous in the church. Have you ever heard of that? You know, well, he came right in and he started just leading singing and he started doing that. And, you know, and what are we always real scared of? I don't want people to think I'm just trying to take over. You need to take over. If things aren't going right and with what the Scripture says, take over. Amen. That means do what God's called to, but have the right attitude toward it. I love what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, 22. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently, the Scripture says, with a pure heart. So as a child of the Most High God, I have got to, I must, the Bible says, learn to dearly love and appreciate other soldiers of Christ. Does that make sense? So because there's different talents. Everybody gathered in this room this very moment has a different talent that can be used for the cause of Christ. We ought to be promoting one another. Amen. We ought to be edifying, lifting each other up. Some can teach, some can sing, some can preach, some can visit, some can do all these different things. Well, then let's continue to encourage that, not to discourage it. It is a Christian's responsibility to love his brethren. It is a God-given commandment that we love all of God's children as we consider loving other people, as we consider loving God's children. I must, as a Christian, strive my very best, and you do as well, to live an example that Christ himself has set for us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul is talking to this young boy, and he's talking to him about, because he's a preacher, his name's Timothy, and he gives him some encouragement because things are going to get a little rough for him. People are going to be looking down on him because of his age. They're not going to listen to his lesson because maybe he's a little bit young. I love what he says to him. He says, let no one despise your youth. So basically what he's saying, it don't matter what anybody does to you, watch this, you be an example to the believers, and here's how you're going to do that. This is what Paul told Timothy. Larry, he said, do that in word, which means in his speech, is that right? In what he's delivering, in conduct, let people see your conduct, let your life be a walking testimony, also in love, let people see that you love them. Does that make any sense? Love will carry you through it all. Amen? All right, and also in spirit, in faith, and the Bible also says in what? In purity. What did he tell him? He kept it simple. Love everybody and live your life the right way. That's it, isn't it? So it's not difficult. If it is difficult, Larry, guess who made it difficult? We did. Because we, Teresa, want to pick and choose who we love. And it's always easy, Rob, for me to love those that love me. But what about Jerry when I need to love those that don't love me? That's where the challenge comes. But Jesus set a perfect example of that. So we need to make sure that we have our attitude in check to make sure that we're doing the right thing. As we consider how we are to serve other people, there is something else that we must do, seriously speaking, and it doesn't come easy for all of us. We as children of God must do this. We must learn to overlook the imperfection of others. Now, I didn't say let sin pass you right by. I didn't say that we are to give a licencia or a license for someone to sin. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we need to be sure that when we see someone sinning, that we understand we're not the judge, we are the messenger. Does that make sense? That our job is to share what God would, how God's looking upon that situation. But we're not their judge. When we start pointing the finger saying, you are headed for hell, your thumb's pointing right back at you because the same measure I use toward that is measured toward me. Does that make sense? So we've got to make sure, and just because this person here may use a little language or this person may smoke a cigarette, this person, I'm not minimizing that by any shape, form, or fashion, but don't let don't go beat somebody down and rob them of their salvation because they fire up a Winston. Amen. What we are to do, Larry, is encourage them. Is that right? And let them see by Scripture that our bodies are the temple of the Lord. And why are we, if Christ Jesus is in our heart, which we hope and pray that He is, if Christ Jesus is within us, I don't think He smokes Winstons. Okay, does that make sense? I don't think we ought to be contaminating our body. Yes or no? You agree? All right. So, but we don't have the right to go out and just beat the stew out of somebody because they're doing things that we believe and see that are different. We cannot let it pass by, let sin pass by without helping them, but quit being their judge. Have you ever noticed how many Christians are some of the best observers of other people's sins today? Have you ever noticed that? We are. All of us are guilty of that. It seems that so many are able to identify. So many are able to see the imperfections in others, but we can't see our own. That, I don't know. Maybe that's just my nature. Maybe it's yours. Friends, that's what the Lord is speaking about. Let's go over and let's see what's going on with that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, "Judge not that you be not, for with what judgment you use, you'll be judged, and with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you." Go to 3. "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the what? Plank in your own eye." Go to 4. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, the plank is in your own eye?" Look at the word Jesus uses here. Go. Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be able to clearly, look at this, see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. My mama used to say all the time, sweep off your own front porch. You ever heard of that? You know, there's debris on your porch. Sweep it off, then you come help me sweep mine off. We have a tendency in life to have such a negative attitude about other people's sin and about other people's shortcomings, but not our own. The right attitude, the attitude of submission to God is what we are to possess. The attitude of a willing heart is what God wants from us. The attitude, brothers and sisters, of serving others and you and I together. We must be sure that we as Christians are praying for other people. Amen? Including our enemies. I must pray the very best for all, including my enemies, according to James chapter 5, verse 16. Folks, as we consider serving other people, how willing today are we to teach? Heather and I just had a conversation about that last week, about teaching. Yes, it gets tough. Yes, it gets heavy. Yes, it can be somewhat burdensome. But do you think that Jesus Christ thought it was easy when He dragged that cross up the hill? Do you think that Christ thought it was easy when He was being spat upon? Do you think that Christ thought it was easy when He had the crown of thorns crushed into His brow? Do you think that He thought it was easy when He was beat 40-1? You know, when I hear Jerry Jr. sometimes talk about some of the things that's getting heavy on his heart, and I hear other people in our congregation talk about it, you've heard me talk about it. Maybe we need to be reminded of what Jesus went through. And then you can find out teaching's not hard after all, is it? And maybe driving the van, it's not difficult at all. And we can start seeing how simple and minimal our things are. But so many times, we all focus on what we're doing. I'm tired of doing this. And the first problem is you're hearing too many I's, yes or no. I'm tired. I this, I that, I this, I need. Pull I out of it and put God in it and all things will fall in place. Does that make any sense? If you're offended by that, good job. Are you able to teach? You teach. I don't understand why people won't. And let me be very critical. Very critical. I don't want there to be any mistake. Let me be critical. Why is it so many people today, Brother Larry, have no problem in showing me how to fish? You could take me out on a boat and you can say, "Jerry, you put the worm on like this, put it this far up the hook, don't put it here because they can grab it and go." You will spend time with me over and over and over and teach me how to fish. You agree with that? You'll teach me how to hunt the right way. "No, Jerry, you don't carry the gun like that when I'm in front of you, big dummy. You flip it around, you have it back so you can shoot the guy behind us, not me." That's probably not true either. But you'll spend hours showing me how to hunt. You'll spend hours putting your tree hut together. You'll do all of these things, and you'll teach people how to do certain things. You'll even teach your child or grandchild how to drive. Well, you are crazy. I did that once. Thank God I only had one kid. But we'll try to teach our children how to drive, and look at the patience associated with that. We can teach each one of them about guns and ammunition, and you'll spend hours reading literature and showing me this and showing me that, and I can say, hey, no. If you buy a 38, this is what this does, and this is one without a hammer, and this is a 9mm, and it's got this, but a 45 will go in like this and come out like that. And we can do all of these different things, but don't ask me to teach you about Jesus. I'll teach you how to fish. I'll teach you how to hunt. I'll teach you how to rebuild a transmission on a vehicle. I'll teach you about how to put a new engine in. I'll teach you about anything, but don't you dare ask me to teach you about Jesus. Something's wrong, brothers and sisters. Amen. You getting anything out of this or not? All right. I think about that young boy we talked about a while ago named Timothy. And he was influenced by one of the most popular preachers that I've ever met. Never met him in person, but I met him online, right here on every line of the Bible. Amen. And we talk about this boy quite often. His name's Paul. Anybody ever heard of Paul? If you have, confirm it with an amen. So Paul encouraged young Timothy to preach and to be ready to preach at all times. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, I charge you, watch this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, it is appearing in his kingdom. He tells him, he said, preach the what? He said, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And how does he conclude that? Teaching. The Bible doesn't give him an option there. Paul made it very clear to Timothy, this is your responsibility. I'm telling you, it doesn't stop with Timothy. Amen. So let's make sure that we are willing to teach. Some cannot stand in front of a group of people and talk. I get that. God gets that. Some cannot, in a classroom setting, sit and talk about and design lessons together. But you can teach by your lifestyle. Amen. You can teach by your actions and your reactions. Amen. Paul was serving Timothy by preparing him for the job that needed to be done. As we consider having the right attitude and possessing the right attitude of serving other people, you and I must remember that we must do everything that we can to restore the erring brother. Now, sometimes we can find ourselves having a wrong attitude toward the erring. Do you know what the word erring means? It means somebody who's walked away, someone who knows the right thing to do, someone who's a Christian, a child of God, and they're in the worship service and they're all involved. And then after a while, they kind of start erring from the truth. Here's the church, and you back away a little bit further and a little bit further. And they begin to make every excuse under the sun, not a reason, but an excuse under the sun why I can't be at church. Number one, musical events. What's that leopard's name that was downtown? What? Taylor Swift. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't get $5 to go sleep in her house. But I watched this girl on the other day. If y'all went to Taylor Swift, y'all, you are going to give me money before you leave this building today. If you're going to pay money to her, you're going to give me something. You're going to buy my lunch. This girl, Paula was my witness. This girl, and perhaps y'all saw it too, made me sick right in my stomach. And I'm serious about that. She said, Bobby, she said this with tears in her eyes. She said, I'm just so happy to be here. And Daddy, he did this and Daddy did that. And he even went and bought us a new van so we could hear and see Taylor. And she was doing this. And I thought, you better be glad he's with Daddy. I'd beat you already. And then she said this, Teresa. She said, and I quote, I just feel so good because I'm in her presence. I'm in, just think, I'm in, what's her name again, Tandy? Tanya Taylor. Yeah, I'm in Tanya Taylor's presence. And so that's what she was. She was so excited because she was in her presence. And Paula said, wouldn't that be awesome if people's like that about Jesus? Wouldn't that be super cool? Is if we had a big gathering that people was, tears was falling down their faces because they knew that they were in the very presence of God. But yet, this Leheffer goes downtown. She gets up there half naked on a stage and all these people are just hanging all over, just crazy. Do not tell me that we don't have some misguided zeal in our world today. Don't tell me that we ain't got some crazy parents out there today. Do you think for 1 second Facebook that I would get up of a morning, get myself ready, drive this one guy, drove 1,200 miles so that his two daughters could see her? If I allowed that, I would stop at Portocol Records and Tape, buy her a DVD and say, there you go. That's as close as you get. And probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably rent it and then take it back. I'm saying all that to say this. Why is it that we go nuts to stand in front of Garth Brooks or somebody popper in there? Why is it we go crazy and stand for hours in a line to qualify to buy a ticket to get in? That don't mean you're getting in. It means you qualify to buy a ticket. And look around you today. Wonder where everybody's at. Tell you where they're at. They're at ball games because softball games, baseball games, football games, soccer games have become way more important than the church. And then we wonder why our families and why are the churches and why the world is going to the expression hell in a handbasket. That's why. Because we look and we're teaching our children today, whether they're this big or this big, that ball games are more important than the church. I had a deacon that got really mad at me one day at College Grove Church of Christ, 8751 Horton Highway, who looked at me and said, "Don't you ever bring that in the pulpit again." So I waited till that night, brought it up again. I waited till the following week, brought it up again, and I brought it up in almost every lesson. Because if it hit that deacon that hard, he needed it. Amen? If it hits me, I need it. The reality is, what are you putting before the church services? God never put anything before you. Jesus went to the cross for you. God gave His only begotten Son for you. And He did all that because of His love for you. And you don't love God enough that you won't send your kids here? Do you put them in a ball game or a bowling event? We got one here that thinks bowling is church. Call it what you want. I don't care if I offend you. The reality is this. When we allow the worldly things to stand between us and God, that's become an idol. Amen? So let's just call it what it is. Oh, I have struggles too. I've got some things that I've got to learn. Hey, wait a minute, Jerry. You need to be more time studying. Quit doing this. Quit doing that. I spend way too much time on serving other things. I should be serving God a little tighter. Amen? Your boy here is guilty. I'm telling you, I'm guilty. But so are you. I want us to grow together. Amen? Stop it. Stop putting things before church. Where's our family today? Families are falling apart. Our jobs are falling apart. Churches, congregations are falling apart. Relationships are falling apart. Wonder why? Because people are not putting Jesus first and foremost anymore. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things then shall be." Y'all might think I'm grumpy today. I'm not. I'm just so concerned. I'm concerned that we're allowing any and everything to get in the way of our worship service. And then when we do that and we continue that practice, then we wonder, well, I don't know what's happening. I can't figure out what's wrong with little Tommy. He's got such an attitude. He's confused. Because at home, you make him have prayer before he eats his banana pudding. And yet when it's church time, you say bowling's more important, or swimming's more important, or fishing's more important. Or you getting a point or not? Galatians 6:1, "If any man has overtaken any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of gentleness, considering gentleness, lest you also be tempted." We can't look down upon people. We've got to look at people. Amen? So when I'm explaining this to you today, that's why, Stephen, I've said it over and over. Don't you leave saying, "Jerry was critical today." Jerry's telling you that I struggle with that too, okay? I'm looking at you, not down at you. You're looking at me. Don't look down at me. Amen? Okay. Are we together? Y'all get anything out of that? Let's close our lesson. I hope and pray today, my whole goal was, and it is still this very moment, is that we possess the right attitude. The kind of attitude that is needed. The kind of attitude that is commanded from God to worship Him and to do it in spirit and in truth. We ought to have the right attitude, because if we have the right attitude toward our worship to God, it makes the Lord's house a joyous place. Amen. It makes it a joy to be able to come together in the house of the Lord to encourage and to be encouraged. But one of the problems that we're having is this. There are so many, and it's sad, so many preachers today, or so-called preachers today, that will get up, tickle your ears. They're going to say things that will make your life easier. And you know what? He becomes the popular preacher. There will never be a day, as long as I'm in the right mind, that I want to be a popular preacher. I want to be a preacher who preaches the Word of God. That's it. Amen? And that's what I need your prayers for. Yes, I struggle. Yes, I need an attitude adjustment. Perhaps we all do. Today, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, you definitely need an attitude adjustment. Kick the devil in his face. Come to know Jesus Christ. Put him on in baptism after your confession. Be willing to repent. Continue to hear and believe. Live a faithful life unto death. And always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Today, if you realize, you know what? I've had a bad attitude toward worship. I've had a bad attitude toward family. I've had a bad attitude toward friends. I've had a bad attitude toward my responsibility, my job, etc. Your boy here has been guilty of that. And I petition the prayers of the congregation. But if you find yourself in that situation, don't think you can handle it on your own. I'm telling you, you cannot. Amen? That's why the Bible says what it does in James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Today, if you have a need and you need it all, you're invited to come right now as together we stand in this.